It's time once again to continue our lesson in contrasting of God's Word, and we're in lesson 15. And today, if you're tuning in or listening on the radio or live with us here at Canton Grace Fellowship, if you will, you're going to learn some things about the prophetic program that's temporarily delayed. And you're going to learn some things about the mystery program that is now in effect. If you remember last 2 weeks, lesson 13, lesson 14, it was talking about God of heaven to set up a kingdom whereat? Of heaven on earth. Okay. You also found out that that God in the mystery program, the contrast is the fact that He's forming a spiritual body of believers perfectly conformed to Christ's image to rule and reign in the heavenly places. Okay. Last week we really broke down some things about God's purpose of that kingdom on earth has been from the foundations of the world. We also found out that God's purpose was about the heavenly program was from the before the foundations of the world. Okay. So this is that was some great stuff get involved with in God's Word. But today, if you understand the Word of God rightly divided, and it's very, very key to understanding the Word of God, isn't it? Okay? Go to Romans chapter 9. Today, if you will, to understand what God is doing in the prophecy program with a kingdom. Remember the last 2 weeks we talked about a kingdom on earth. Everybody wants a kingdom on earth. We talked about many of you passes churches on the road and there's a big sign, kingdom first. You know, wanting to build a kingdom. The kingdom for God. That's all good, isn't it? You know, think about it. Wouldn't you want to be involved in building a kingdom for God on earth? In the right dispensation, amen. But look, in the prophetic program, in Romans chapter 9, you have to understand that God has temporarily delayed His program of the kingdom on earth. If He's not building a kingdom on earth, what is He doing in the dispensation of grace? Building a body of believers. If you remember back in lesson 13, we broke that down very well. In Romans chapter 9, this begins a new section of the book of Romans. Now, if you remember way back in your notes, about 5 years ago maybe six, we went through the whole book of Romans. Okay? We went the whole book. It took us a year and a half. And I'm not going to go back through that in the next 30 minutes with you, but I am going to hit some highlights in the book of Romans. Romans chapter 9, 10, 11 is very, very important in what God has to say for the nation Israel dealing with a kingdom on earth. And in this new section of the book of Romans, the dispensation beginning of grace, and it answers the question, what happened to Israel? Okay, that's Romans 9, 10, and 11. And many of us want to know what happens to Israel. And we know what happened in times past. But now in ages to come. In Romans chapter 9, remember this, Israel's past is election, God's sovereignty. And Romans chapter 10 is Israel's presence, salvation, and God's righteousness. Romans chapter 11 is Israel's future, restoration, and God's faithfulness with the nation Israel. I think about us here today, and we're always talking about the dispensation of grace and what God is doing for us today through His Son, Jesus Christ. But you may, in times past, had an Israelite was saved under a kingdom program that was preached by Peter, and he's back there going, what about me? What about me? You're always talking about the body of Christ, but what about me? This answers his questions about Israel. What's that? 9, 10, 11. Israel's past. Chapter 10 is Israel's present. Chapter 11, Israel's future. If you do not understand what happened to Israel in times past or what will happen to them in ages to come, then you may think that somehow today you are Israel. Okay? And want to claim their blessings. How many of you hear that over and over and over? You want Israel's blessings, but not their curses. You realize that? Not the curses, which is the most of Christianity, is what most of Christianity is doing today. Prosperity messages. You know, we talk about tithing. Give to the storehouse. See, if you don't give to God, if you're robbing God, how's He going to give you? That type of thing. In Romans chapter 9, Romans chapter 9, verses 4 through 5. I'm not going to read them. I'm just going, you're there in your book. But Israel was God's chosen people. Was there not? Verses 4 and 5. They were given the privileges in this verse. They was, underline was, their, this was their position, and it will be in the future. Hosea chapter 2 and Hosea chapter 1 tells them this is what they're going to get over here in ages to come. This is their future. But it is not their position and status today. Okay, many of you know that. Wherefore they blinded to the wonderful riches that they had. Okay, most of all in verses 5, Christ came in the flesh unto them, and they received Him not. Paul's heart was heavy for his kinsmen. Okay, that's why he writes chapter 9, 10, 11. Remember back to the first of this lesson, we talked about advantages and disadvantages? Okay, who had the advantages in times past? Israel had. What did they have? They had adoption and glory. That's Hosea, chapter 1. They get the adoption and the glory that God gave them. Then they had the covenants, didn't they? And you know what? The covenant's not with the Gentiles. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 12. You're not a covenant people, people. Hear me? That disturbs a lot of people. You're not a covenant. Then they had the giving of the law, the services of God. That's Exodus chapter 25. And Exodus chapter verse 25, chapter 8 through 16 and 21 and 22 and so on. They had the promise, didn't they? That's Isaiah chapter 35, Isaiah 60, Isaiah 61. Then they had who's the fathers? That's Romans chapter 11, verse 28. Then you had concerning the flesh. Think about this. Concerning the flesh, Israel's greatest honor, and they did not recognize it. Israel, they could have been everything on this earth, but according to their flesh, they was God's greatest honor on earth to be sanctified and set apart. And they did not recognize that. Then you go down to chapter in chapter 9, verses 30 through 31. It says, what shall we say then? This is conclusion of God's reshaping Israel. Okay? Why Israel fail? This is what all this is about. Gentiles follow, and keep in mind what you're trying to, you know, what I'm trying to get your focus is about Israel's, the kingdom is postponed today. Gentiles followed not after righteousness and obtained righteousness by faith. You know that today, right? You don't follow, okay? Then Israel followed after the law of righteousness and hath not obtained the law of righteousness. We understand that, don't we? In times past, Gentile salvation was done through Israel. We know that. That's why if you have a chart at hand, this top line is Israel. This bottom line is the Gentiles. In times past, the Gentiles had to go through Israel to get to God the Creator, didn't they? Okay? But now that Israel has been set aside, Israel needs to eliminate the Gentiles for their salvation. They turn the table. Instead of the Gentiles going to Israel to be salvation, the unsaved Israelites in Romans chapter 9, 10, 11 has to turn like a Gentile does. So that's opposite. It's almost like God telling Paul, don't go into the Israels. Don't go to the kings, but go to what? The Gentiles. What did He tell Israel to do? Okay. It's like, then He changed His name from Saul, a Hebrew name, to Paul, a Gentile name. I believe He did that so He can identify Himself of who He was with the nations. Not a nation. We know Paul's pedigree, don't we? Then in Romans chapter 32, Israel did not seek salvation by faith. They went out and tried to work it, didn't they? Do you know anybody today trying to work their salvation? Yeah, many of you are smiling. Work to keep it. That's another big one. They trusted in their good works to produce righteousness. Then verse 33, a stumbling stone, a rock of offense. That's an embarrassment, by the way. Is the Lord Jesus Christ. His people was embarrassed and tripped over their king. Okay, we know that now, don't we? By looking what Paul's written to the book of Acts.
He didn't have enough pomp and circumstance for the group.
This is an important dispensation passage in that Israel stumbled at the cross and evidently fell in the middle of the book of Acts. You got to understand your Word of God rightly divided. Prior to this time in the Gospels, okay, what does gospel mean? Okay. Israel was blinded. They were given a renewed opportunity to repent in the early book of Acts. Okay, we've worked through this stuff. After the stoning of Stephen, the nation was set aside, and the salvation is to the Gentiles. That's Romans 11:11. Okay? To recap what we just shared right there, Israel rejected the opportunity to respond in faith. It has always been by faith. Don't ever think it's not. We always say you've got to have faith plus works. Never has been the issue. It's always been faith. And believing God, taking God at His Word, and then getting in the program that God has put there. Okay, that's faith. The law program got you in there to sanctify and to set you aside. In the dispensation of grace, you get into understanding Romans 6, 7, 8, and it sanctifies you and sets you aside. God always, in whatever agency He's using, whether it's the body of Christ or the nation Israel, they're supposed to be peculiar and set aside and be different than anybody else in the nation. He works you that way. Gentiles recognized their sinful condition and responded to faith, didn't they? Hey, Israel, if you don't want to hear it, we'll hear it. And Paul's saying, see, they're speaking in tongues, they're healing, they're having every sign that you guys had over here that God was showing you that He's not dealing with you no more as a nation, as a national entity, Israel. Romans chapter 10. Is a picture of what Paul preached to the Jews when he went into the synagogues after Israel was set aside. You hear what I said? Israel, now, when Peter and the little flock, were they lost or saved?
They were saved.
Okay. That's the remnant of God, what God and the nation is. That's really all the saved Israel in the book of Acts, okay? But there was other people there, wasn't there? Other people called themselves Israelites. They wasn't saved. Just because you was an called yourself an Israelite, that don't mean a hill of beans. Okay? You know the parables and what he says, hey, you tell me that Abraham's your father, I can raise up people things in the rocks, remember? Okay? Just because you're Abraham's seed don't mean that you're saved. Chapter 10, verse 1, Paul's desire was for Israel to be saved even though the nation had been set aside. His heart, his kinsmanship, it was there. His loved ones. Much like us. You know my story. We've got 600 families across the United States of my last name. And my desire was to share everything I could about the dispensation of grace and get people saved by grace through by faith plus nothing else. That didn't work too well. That's why one of the reasons why we moved up here to start the church that we thought we'd get people to understand and praise God for you. This is a verse about individual salvation in chapter 10, verse 1. It has nothing to do with a national salvation. With me? Okay? Then of Israelite hearing the gospel, the grace of God, and being saved into the body of Christ. If Paul was raised up in Acts chapter 9 with a new message, with a new dispensation, okay, is he going to get the people that were saved in the kingdom into the body? They're already saved in Christ. You with me? Who is he going after to get people convinced about this dispensation?
Both Jew and Gentile.
Both Jew and Gentile, the lost people, right? You with me? You're not going to mess with a saved Israelite. He's going to look at you and say, if he knows his Bible, I am sealed where I'm at and you're not moving me. I'll help you. No difference today. God gave them, Israel, an opportunity after the opportunity to accept their Messiah. Okay? Even to provoke them to jealousy. But still, they remained disobedient. Yeah, they didn't want to hear it, did they? Puffing up in their flesh and all that. Who are you to tell me that I need a Savior? We hear that today, don't we? There are a lot of things, whether Jew, Gentile, bond, free, it doesn't matter. But they still remained disobedient. The nation of Israel was provoked to jealousy by two groups of people. That was three, wasn't it? Two groups of people. The nation, a.k.a. the foolish nation. You remember who the foolish nation is? No, the foolish nation. I'll provoke you. Moses talked about I'll provoke you by a foolish nation. That's right here. Nation. Within a nation. Okay, with me? That's that little flock from the book of Acts chapter 1 through chapter 12 with Peter's ministry and the prophetic program. The unsaved Israel nation had a nation within them. It is my Father's good pleasure to give to you the kingdom of what? Okay? And he's talking to that little flock, the nation Israel, a little remnant. Imagine that. God always dealt with little remnants. All through it. All through His program. Then the nations, with the S, a.k.a. the body of Christ, the church, from the books of, from chapter 9 through 28, with Paul's ministry. When you look at the book of Acts, please remember this. It's dealing with the nation Israel, the unsaved and the saved. It's not really dealing with the body of Christ. Okay? That's why people get mixed up in some things when they go to the book of Acts. Well, it says it right here. And then you jump, well, it says it right here. Book of Acts is a transitional book. And it's dealing mainly with the nation Israel. Then you get in Paul's epistles and you read. You can go back to see where he's at in Acts and understand what he's doing. That's a big error out back there. People want to put their faith and put their doctrine and stuff in the book of Acts. You best not do that, people. You better not. You understand the book of Acts and you lay it out dispensationally about the fall of Israel. It starts with Israel up here, doesn't it? When will you again restore the kingdom to Israel? And down here at Acts 28, salvation's gone to the Gentiles. Now, where in the world in those books, in the 28 chapters, are you going to place your doctrine in it? If it's continuing to fall? I hope none. You know, that would be the correct answer, preacher. And God's is God through with Israel? Okay. After all, it has been said in the preceding verses in chapter 9 through 10, God forbid. Okay, He's not through with the nation Israel. God has cast away His people, which He foreknew. That's hard to understand. But He did. It is important to understand that there was nothing wrong with the prophetic program over here. That's why you got to, when you share right division, and you share what happened in times past, but now ages come, you need to understand what God is doing. There's nothing wrong with that program. God does not set up a program to fail. He does not set you in Christ to fail. He did not set Israel in Christ to fail. Does He?
No.
No, thank you. It was running on a schedule according to what was written. God interrupted the kingdom program, the prophecy program, temporarily, and the prophetic program, and then introduced a different program, which is called the
mystery
program. Something kept secret, what God is doing today. When you read and study the book of Romans, it will teach you how to study all of the New Testament. Okay. For example, Romans 15:8 says, Christ was
a minister to the circumcision.
Okay. It tells you It tells us where we are when we study Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Very elementary. Times past, Christ is a minister to the circumcision. After Christ dies and sins back the Holy Ghost, we are in the book of Acts. And Romans chapter 11, if you want to turn there, Romans chapter 11, 11 through 12, will explain this. Romans chapter 11, okay, you can use Romans chapter 11 and find out about the books of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the book of Acts, and Hebrews through Revelation. Romans 11:11 says, I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? God forbid. But rather through their fall, have they, Israel, stumbled that they should fall? Okay? No, they stumbled, but they did not what? Fall. In your mind and in your Bible's learning, where would had Israel have fallen? Or excuse me, stumbled? At the cross. Okay? This is where they stumbled, but they did not fall. Okay? They stumbled. Many of us knows what it means to stumble, don't we? You know, half the time we stumble and we look around to see if anybody's watching us, don't we? Then 2 steps later, I'm usually on my back. You know, I do fall. You know, but it says through their fall. So they do fall. Salvation's to the Gentiles. But later on, Israel's do, you know, they do fall. Then they diminish, according to Romans chapter 11. Not only do they fall, they start to diminishing. And that's where you find it in the book of Acts. That's where you can find out Israel is up here and all of a sudden they're down here. What's going on? Romans 9 through 11 tells us what happened to Israel in the book of Acts, once again. And Romans 9, chapter 3 through 30, just recap, Paul begins to write about the present condition of Israel. How God has taken them from a position of honor, okay, they once had to a position of dishonor amongst the Gentiles. That's hard to swallow, isn't it? You know, you start telling people this, they like stay away from me. What are you talking about? But he has. They was up here, wasn't they? They was God's favorite nation, chosen nation. But what are they are today? If there's no difference between who? Okay, for the dispensation of grace. He begins to ask a series of questions in Romans chapter 9, verse 3, seeing that God has done this change. And this all concludes in verses 30 through 31. You there? Chapter 9, verses 30 through 33. Excuse me. If you know, we're going to, for sake of time, we're not going to read that. But think about that. Behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone, a rock of offense. This is the Lord Jesus Christ. Israel stumbled but did not fall when Jesus went to the cross. Okay? Luke chapter 23, verses 33 and 34 says, Father, forgive them. Does he not say that on the cross? Father, forgive them. He tells them, if you blaspheme against the Son of Man, it will be forgiven you. But if you blaspheme against the Holy Ghost, it will not be forgiven you in this world or the world to come. With me? Instead of God pouring out His wrath for them killing and rejecting His Son, He extends mercy and grace. In Acts chapter 3, verses 12 through 26, again, Israel has stumbled but not fallen. God changes Israel's sentence. Remember in Acts chapter 2, you with wicked hand is crucified. What shall we do? Right? It pricked their hearts. They had a murder indictment against them. So, yes, sir?
At the stumble, the acceptable year of the Lord starts from the cross to Stephen?
For the nation Israel?
For the nation Israel.
Okay, yeah. No, wait a minute. The fig tree. The parable of the fig tree, about digging it up and dunging it for 1 year because the Lord's won't cut it down because it wasn't bearing fruit.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
But the thing is, they gave them 1 year to get it right. There's 1 year in your Bible from Acts chapter 1 to Acts chapter 8 is 1 year. When you read it, it seems like 15 years, don't it?
But is that the acceptable year of the Lord?
I need that verse.
Well, that's in Luke. Where he talks about he gives three things there.
And Isaiah chapter 60, where he opens up the book and he reads about the acceptable year of the Lord, and he closes the book about the wrath coming up. Yes.
That was Acts chapter 1. Acts 1 year.
1 year in your Bible. Okay? Very good, Leon. Thank you. Again, here, Israel has stumbled but not fallen. God changes Israel's sentence from a murder to a manslaughter in chapter 3. You did it ignorantly. God gave them a renewed opportunity. God answered Jesus' prayer, didn't He? Father, forgive them. Then Israel was blinded and had done this out of ignorance. Now, I'll tell you, I've done a lot of things in my life out of ignorance. And my boss probably tell you I'm still doing a lot of things out of ignorance. But you know, I believe there's a willfully ignorant and a blindly ignorant. Some people just don't know. But if you willfully ignore something, that's where I draw the line. You know, I say, oh, wait a minute now. You know, you're doing this willfully, then we have to talk or you're on your own. But look, they had stumbled but not fallen, and the middle wall was still up. Okay? And we are still in times past in the book of Acts. We done went through all this. Acts chapter 2 through 7, but this does not last. At the stoning of Stephen, right? They start to fall. Prior to Acts chapter 7, God dealt with the world. God so loved the
world.
Okay, through Israel. See?
Amen.
And I know you can probably use that world as a religious system that He set up on it. He loved that. But it came corrupted. And through Israel. Acts chapter 7 onward, God no longer deals through Israel. However, God still deals with Israel from Acts chapter 7 through 28. That's why you really, when you look at the book of Acts, I'm serious, guys, you better take heed or learn. You know, put your priorities where He talks about Israel, because you can get yourself caught up in that and thinking you're a part of that. There is a difference between God dealing with Israel and through Israel. Through Israel was the Abrahamic covenant, salvation to the Gentiles through Israel. Okay, with Israel, because of the remnant from among the nation of Israel, through His election of grace, He wanted to save and bring into the body of Christ. Not the little remnant, but the apostate Israel, the lost Israel. He uses Paul to minister to them the signs, gifts, and tongues, and etc. All these things ended by the end of Acts, when Israel was completely lost all status. By the time you get to Acts chapter 28, we know by Acts chapter 9, going to Israel. By Acts 18, going to Gentiles. Acts chapter 13, 18, going to the Gentiles. By Acts 28, going to Gentiles. Over and over and over, God through Paul is trying to provoke the unbelieving nation of Israel to become like a Gentile so they can be saved. That's why I said when you look at the nations, and He's apostle of the Gentiles, Romans 13, he's apostle of the nations. And Israel, if they're fallen, guess where they're at today?
In the nations,
among not the United Nations, but the nations, the Gentiles. The ministry of Paul, the apostle, is based upon the fall of Israel. And that's why when you look at some things, when you get involved in this, you can understand by Paul's ministry, this kingdom is postponed. He's not dealing with the kingdom today. Where's Lord Jesus Christ? He's in royal exile. He's up there amongst the Father, God the Creator, in royalty.
Why do you say exile?
Because that's where he's at. You think about members of Shah Iran? Is the Iranian want the money, the gold? Wasn't he royalty amongst the world? And wherever he went, he was in royal exile. They treated him like a king. Okay? That's what I'm talking about. Wherever you're exiled, your exit from where you was at, and you're in another place, but you're still royalty. Look at this. Romans chapter 11, verse 15, casting away of them, Israel, is reconciling the world. That reconciliation we looked at before is Corinthians chapter 5. No longer know him after the flesh in times past, and the flesh circumcision, but a difference, but now it does. You don't know him in the circumcised flesh, do you? You know him how? The glorified, risen Lord and Savior, the spiritual Lord, God Almighty. In Romans chapter 11:11, once again, in the light of verses 8 through 10, Israel's blindness. I say then, had they stumbled that they should fall? What's the answer? God forbid. Means no. I protest. Within this verse is a period of time when Israel stumbled, and we already looked at that. But rather through their fall, salvation has come to the Gentiles. Through their fall, salvation has come, correct? Okay, Romans chapter 11:11. Not wrath, yep. Not wrath. Through the mystery program, truth revealed through Paul. With me? Through their fall, according to the prophecy program, wrath should have what? If you have your chart, if you have your chart, that's the prophetic program. And through Israel's disobedience and stoning Stephen, the wrath of God's supposed to pour out. But what God did, He raised up a new apostle for the nations, and the wrath did not come. Verse 12 says, "To follow them be the riches of the world, and the diminishing of them be the riches of the Gentiles." So not only was they cast away, but they what? They fallen. Not only fallen, cast away. They're diminishing. The nation Israel. The fall came with the death of stoning of Stephen, and the diminishing took place from the book of Acts, chapter 7, all the way over to Acts chapter 28. Many of you know that. That's basic times past, but now in ages to come. In Romans chapter 13 through 14, Paul magnifies his office to the Gentiles. We just talked about what does Gentiles mean? Nations. That's everybody. Whereby he would provoke his kinsmen to jealousy, that they might be saved. Boy, wouldn't we want to provoke our kinsmen to be saved? Under a law program or under a grace program? Right now is the best time in the world to understand that. Because God's not imputing trespasses and sins against you. He's with peace with the world. And a lot of people don't understand that because, you know, they wait on God to open up that earth and swallow them. And when they don't see that, they're like, okay, there is no God. You better believe there is a God of the Bible, and He is who He says He is, and He does not lie. And if you understand the Word of God rightly divided, you know what He's doing today, and you will hold Him much more in reverence and respect of the God, the Creator. Hey, I've served many gods in my times past. The little g's. And even though I'm saved today, I still serve a God.
Technology.
I love technology. And it will consume me. You know, I just love new stuff. You know, I'm sorry. I used to love Bibles.
Oh, you used to?
Well, I would covenant your Bible. If I found out what you have, I'd still love them, honey. I'm sorry. Sorry. Just checking. But anyway, let's get on with the message here. In other words, lead them to the gospel, the grace of God, which is by faith for salvation, as opposed to righteousness through the law. That's a totally difference. Where are you at in Romans? Did you know Romans chapter 11, verse 6? Let's share this with you real quick. Romans chapter 11, verse 6 is one of the greatest verses that you can have and use to tell you about grace and it not works. Listen to this. And if by grace, then is no more of works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then it is no more grace. Otherwise, work is no more work. It's either grace or it's works. And if it's grace, then it's grace. If it's works, then it's works. Powerful verse. The trend today, and we might have said this on Onslaught, the trend today is that Gentiles, the nations, us, are trying to get back to the set aside of Israel's program. You hear what I said? Today, people's trying to teach us, say, hey, no. You got to be elevated back up here in Israel status. When Paul, for 2,000 years ago, was trying to provoke Israel to be like the Gentiles to be saved. See how that works? See how the counterfeiter does? See how you can get really mixed up saying, hey, let me back up. Let me slow down. Getting a little excited. People want you today to be like Israel was in times past to be saved. And that's error.
You want the blessings, but not the curses.
Not the curses.
That's the bulk of Christendom.
That's what I'm talking about. That's the pattern today. People want to elevate the Gentiles up here when God has put the Israels down here with the Gentiles. Don't be fooled. Please don't be fooled with that. If you're listening at all, don't be fooled with that. In chapter 11, verse 15, for the casting away of them. This verse shows that Paul's ministry of reconciliation could not have taken place until the fall of Israel. See, Israel had to completely get out of the picture in order for God, through Paul, to tell you complete about the not the revelation of mystery, but about reconciliation, and could not have taken place. And you hear what I'm saying? Israel had to be totally out of the way, fallen. He gave him every opportunity, didn't he? Mm-hmm. Every opportunity. Romans chapter 11, verse 25. For I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant, that you should be wise in your own conceit. You need to look at this very closely. Verse 25, chapter 11. That blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. There's an old saying out there from one of the fathers of dispensationalism, if you will. It says, God set aside Israel for a season and for a reason. It's a good point. He set Israel aside for a season and for a reason. Verse 20, fullness of the Gentiles is the rapture of the church. Okay, when the fullness of the Gentiles come in, we're out of here. Okay? And after the rapture, all of Israel shall be saved, right? That's what it says. And gain, this is their completion of God's program among the Gentiles today, when it's taken out here. But the interruption of Israel's program is to form the church, the body of Christ. When God postponed the kingdom program, it has put Israel's program on hold, temporarily. Okay, he hasn't forgot about them. And don't you think he has? Verse 26 says, and all Israel shall be saved, as is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. Over here, there's a remnant flees from the nations, don't they? And they're saved. That's all of Israel. He's still not talking about the apostate Israel.
That's 144,000.
Well, they go up here, but there's actually some goes out into the wilderness and flees from the Antichrist. Because Antichrist's goal is to crush every Jew there is, Israelite. Completely eliminate them. They've been trying that for years, haven't they? Okay, and verse 28 through 29, from this verse, from these verses through 32, Paul shifts back to the present time of the dispensation of grace and our responsibilities about how to think about Israel today. You need to know what God is doing with Israel, the saved Israel, okay? Because we know what He's doing with unsaved Israel. They're the same as us that was lost and dying and going to hell. And that's hard for people to think. And our responsibility of how to think about them. As concerning the present gospel, it says, Israel is cut off today for the sake of God's program, the body of Christ. But God's elect with Israel, and elect means what? Chosen for what?
Service.
Okay? You got individual service and you got national services. Israel, Esau, Jacob have I loved, Esau have I loved. You know, people just gets all upset about that. All it is about service. Who's going to serve God? And the promises with Israel's father will still stand. And will be fulfilled, and the gifts without changing God's mind, that's what is going to happen. Now that's what God is doing in the postponement of the prophecy program. I got a couple more verses that, in contrast to the prophetic prophecy program, has been temporarily delayed. I showed you that. We have the mystery program. That is now in effect. Go to Ephesians chapter 3 and get Colossians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 3, Colossians chapter 1. If God has postponed the kingdom program, delayed it, then that means He's doing something else. He's just not sitting us out there in limbo or, you know, just doing whatever. He's got a plan. God always has a plan. And it's His plan. And you know what I had to do a long time ago? When I think or try to think with my mind what I think what God is doing in His Word, I can't understand it. I believe this. And sometimes when God is talking, like through David in Psalms, and David's writing, okay? And you may think David's looking up and writing what God's saying, that gives you a different perspective. But if you understand what God is saying and He's looking down, it gives you a mind like, whoa, I see what God's saying. I see what God's seeing. And it gets me out of the picture. Because my mind's, you know, it can be easily corrupted. You know, if you don't, but we got the mind of Christ, but you can still got a human viewpoint, correct? Look at chapter 3. For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles, if ye have heard the dispensation of grace of God, which is given me to you, how that by revelation He made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when you read you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as is now revealed unto the holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of the promise in Christ by the gospel. And by the way, there are Bible versions out there will add after the Gentiles, they say with Israel, and that's an error, because you're not joint heirs with Israel. You're joint heirs in who?
Christ.
See? How you can take Bibles and under, wait a minute now, I'm with Israel. Uh-uh. They should be with you in Christ. And it says, and partakers of His promise in Christ by the gospel, wherefore I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of His powers, unto me whom at least then less than least of all of the saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world had been hid in God, who created all things by who? Jesus Christ. To what? Why does He do this? Why does He create all things in Jesus Christ? Why does He want to make all men see the fellowship of mystery? Why does He tell Paul is the great grace giver? Why does He say it was hid in other ages to come? Why does He want you to hear the dispensation of grace of God? That's good questions, isn't it? Look at verse 10, it's going to tell you. To the intent. This is why. That now, you should underline that in your Bible, now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known, made known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. Amen. He's taking you and showing what God is doing today in the heavenly places, verse 10, according to the eternal purpose which He purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. Man, you can stay right here for the next 2 days, or the next 5 years, or the rest of your life. Go to Colossians chapter 1. I won't burden you. You just have to tune in next week on that one. Colossians chapter 1, verse 15, similar verse. Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature? For by Him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by Him and for Him. In earth, once again, is it visible or invisible? Visible. You can see things. You're looking at each other. You're holding things. How about the heavens? Visible or invisible? Okay. Then it talks about thrones and dominions and power. There's government structures up there. Same as here on earth. It should make you realize some things here. God's got a pattern for the universe and He's in control. It's about authority. It's about a throne. That's been the subject of the Bible all through. It's about a power struggle between Satan and God, Jesus Christ. And the war going on. Tremendous war. I used to tell people, and sometimes I still do, the fact that if you could actually see that spiritual warfare going above your head, it would scare you to heaven. You know, like, oh my gosh, what is going on? But you know, God don't give us a spirit of fear. So we can understand what is those warfare, spiritual warfare. There's this war going on, people. And you should think about that when you're talking with people. You know, they think they know this and know that. You better get them with the real. You better show them what's real. Keep reading. And He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. And He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, and that in all things He might have preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in Him should all fullness dwell. I got 8 more verses. Stay with me. And having made peace through the blood of His cross, by Him to reconcile all things unto Himself, by Him I say, whether they be things in earth, things in heaven, and you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now He hath reconciled in the body of His flesh through death, to present you holy and unblameable and unprovable in His sight. His sight. That's how He sees you if you're saved. We don't see each other that way, do we? Ed, you didn't shave this morning. You know, you didn't comb your hair. That type of thing. We look at each other in a fleshly manner like, who are you? You're not good enough. But God don't see you that way. And if He don't see you that way, and we're body members of His body and have His mind, we shouldn't see each other that way. Then we talk about in the body of flesh and holy. Verse 23, if ye continue in faith and grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which ye have heard and was preached to every creature which is under heaven, wherefore thy Paul was made a minister. Verse 24, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you and fulfill and fill up that which is behind the affliction of his body's sake, which is the church. Wherefore I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill what? The Word of God. Do you know that you have the Word of God fulfilled in the dispensation of grace, and you don't have to worry about and looking for other things found in caves and other books about books, that you have the Word of God fulfilled?
Amen.
Completed. Got to have other books, not only them, but other people. They always, this book is not good enough for them. And by the way, those blank pages at the back of your Bible, that's not for further revelations after you ate your pepperoni pizza, by the way, and you, or your wife's whispering in your ear for your honey-do list. It's for notes. Okay? You with me? It ain't for further revelation, because God spoke His Word and put it on this paper, and we have completed. Keep reading. It says, even the mystery which had been hid from ages and from generation, but now is made manifest to who? His saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of His glory, riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach. Check this out. Warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ. Today, the kingdom program and the prophecy program is postponed. God is dealing with a mystery program, which is now in effect for that reason. That He takes you, the member of the body of Christ, and you're made perfect in Him, and He places you in the heavenly places. And hey, you're a vessel of honor. We may not look at each other as that. You know, sometimes I look at myself, you know, beat myself down. But you're not defeated in Christ. So remember that. When you finish this lesson today, that who you are in Christ and what God is doing. Until next week.